من يريد الله به خيرا يفقهه في الدين.
As graduates of first grade fiqh, it's hoped that we will benefit, cooperate, unite on truth, and make decisions based on proof, Quran, authentic hadith, qiyas, but most importantly ijma', consensus of the scholars, because it includes all other proofs. Welcome to Outlining Fiqh. I am your host, Tyler Boyd, and we have with us here today Sheikh Abu Toba and several students of fiqh from around the world. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, kayf halukum?
Alhamdulillah, all is well here, Sheikh. Kayf halukum?
La ba'ts, alhamdulillah, all is well as well. Alhamdulillah, we are here in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Alhamdulillah, looking forward to the Eid. Okay, so everybody has a good Eid out there, beautiful Eid when it comes, and we see a beautiful days. Continue.
Naam, we are in the study of Ar-Risala by the Imam Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawani, which is the classic Maliki fiqh text, and we are on page 230 of 400 on the English translation, and this is the chapter of Zakat, and we're in the subchapter 25.3b, which is the section on money and livestock. So,
okay, go ahead. Let's see what we got.
Naam. Zakat on money and livestock is paid once a year. Money is other than mines and treasure troves. Zakat is obliged on money and livestock once a year, after the end of a full year. Zarruq said the precondition of livestock after a year is that the collector comes in the well-known position, if he exists, and arrives. Otherwise, it is obliged after the year by agreement. According to the well-known position, if it's paid before he comes, then it does not satisfy the requirement.
Okay, continue.
25.4. On farm produce. 25.4a, the minimum amount. No zakat is due on any amount of dates or grain less than 5 wasks. Since it is sound so, that the Prophet...
So now we're going to talk about this right here. Look at the first mercy that we get when we're talking about agriculture, you know, things farmed, fruits and vegetables, that if it doesn't meet, let's say, 5 bushels, then it doesn't even owe zakat on it. Free to go. Continue.
Nah. Ibn Umar said, see whether legumes are included with grain, raisins, and olives with fruits or not. Some commentaries include it in grain and make grain include other things than fruits. There are 19 types. Wheat, barley, salt barley, rice, millet, sorghum, and Arabian wheat. And 7 legumes. Lentils, beans, broad beans, chickpeas, lupines, peas, grass peas, and oil seeds, which are the seeds of red radishes, sesame designated as sesame and karthum, safflower, and olives and raisins. So there are 20 types of fruits. No zakat is obliged. No zakat is obliged on others like cotton seeds or rape or the like.
Continue.
They mention 2 rules for the 5 wasks. One is by measure and the other is by weight. 25.4b. What the measure of a wask is. 5 wasks is the same as 6 1/4 kafizes, 609.84 kilograms. 1 wask is 60 sa'as, measuring by the sa'a of the Prophet. May Allah bless him and grant him peace. 1 sa'a is 4 muds.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Continue.
Wask, linguistically, is the joining of one thing to another. The Almighty says what may mean, and the night and all its shrouds, wasaqa. 84.17. Surah 84, ayah 17. I.e., joins and gathers the darkness and the stars.
Aywa, tafadhal.
It is 60 sa'as by the sa' of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So he states that the nisab in the year is 747 muds, with the mud of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Then he goes on to explain the categories which are joined together, and when they form the nisab, there is zakat due, and the types which are not joined, since not all of the categories are combined to reach the nisab.
MashaAllah.
24.5c, excuse me, 25.4c, the case of certain grains. Wheat, barley, and salt barley are considered as one category for zakat purposes.
Alhamdulillah.
Wheat, barley, and salt barley are combined as a single category of grain as stated in the madhab. They are also a single category in sales, according to the well-known position, and so disparity in selling for one for the other is forbidden. They are combined when they are cultivated and harvested in the same year. When they are cultivated in two or more years, it is said that one considers what is grown at the same time, and they are added to each other, and what is grown at one time is not added to what is grown at another time. It is said that what is considered is the crop. If he plants the second before harvesting the first, it's added to it. Otherwise, it's not. The first is from Malik in the book of Ibn Sahnun, and the second by Ibn Maslama. 25.4d. When zakat is due on them. If together they add up to 5 wasks, you have to pay zakat on them. Ibn Umar said that he pays from each grain what is representative of it, and so he pays the highest from the highest, the lowest from the lowest, and the middle from the middle. If he chooses to pay the highest grain for the lowest, then it is allowed. If he pays the lowest for the highest, that is not allowed. So there is agreement regarding grains that he pays from every type what is representative of it. There is agreement regarding animals that he pays the middle. There is disagreement about dates. It is said that they are like livestock, and it's said they are like grains. Naam. 25.4e. Pulses are combined. In the same way, different kinds of pulses are added together. The commentary goes on. The Maliki Madhab considers that pulses are considered as a single category for zakat, but not for selling. Pulses include various types: peas, chickpeas, lentils, grass peas, broad beans, lupines, beans, and sesame seeds. The commentator on the Muwatta said that radish seeds are included with them. 25.4f, dates and raisins. And this also applies to different varieties of dates and raisins.
Okay, continue.
The same is for dates and raisins when they reach 5 wusks. 25.4g, rice, sorghum, and millet are different categories. However, rice, sorghum, and millet are each considered to be in a different category and are not added together when calculating zakat. Each of these are a separate category, and according to the madhab, they are not added together because they are clearly separate and their form differs. He says this is in reference to zakat to indicate the person who says that they are all one category in usury, i.e. disparity is not allowed between them. That is the position of Ibn Wahab. The well-known position differs from that. 25.4h. What is done with the various types of dates? If there are various types of dates in a date garden, you use the middle quality when paying zakat. So they are good, middle, and poor. In the well-known position, the middle variety are used. If there is one type, it is taken from it, be it good or poor. He does not have to bring the middle or the best of it. If there is both excellent and poor, he takes each from its share, even if the poor is few, because the basis is that zakat is taken from its source. By words of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the zakat of every property is taken from it. The sunnah makes certain requirements in livestock. So the sunnah is that it's paid from the generality of livestock because it's taken from the middle and the rest remains on its root.
Mashallah.
25.4i, olives. You pay zakat on olives when the amount of them reaches 5 wusks, paying the zakat in oil, i.e. measured in dry ones. Ibn Wahab says that there is no zakat on them or anything which has oil. The sound position in the basis of the madhab, i.e. sound and current, according to the rule of the madhab, is that it is not, that which is not a foodstuff has no zakat paid on it. We read in At-Tahqiq, even if it is not a comestible, it is included in it if it is sound for food. According to the statement that there is zakat, its zakat is given from its oil, not from its grain, in the well-known position. There's no precondition that the oil reach the nisab in weight. The precondition is the grain reaching the nisab, as was clearly stated by the sheikh. Ibn al-Hajib reported the agreement on that. If it's paid from its grain, that is not allowed.
Mashallah.
25.4j, zakatable seeds. You also pay the zakat on sesame seeds and radish seed in oil for them. If you sell this produce, it's possible to pay the zakat owed using the money that you have received, inshallah.
No.
And other things which are pressed for oil when that reaches the nisab. If the olives are sold, then it's paid from the price, whether the price reaches the nisab or not. The nisab of the grain itself is only considered, not the price. One of them said that he said, inshallah, because of the weakness of this position. And some say that it's because of the strength of the disagreement regarding it. That which is in the Mukhtasar and its commentary is that if olives and their like have oil, it is paid from their oil. If they have no oil, like the olives of Egypt, it's paid from their price. It is like that with what is not dried, like the fresh dates and grapes of Egypt and green broad beans. Zakat is paid from their price, even if they are sold for a lot less than that on which zakat is obliged, if it's estimated to be 5 wusks. If it's less than that, nothing is obliged on it, even if he sells it for many times more than what would occur as a zakat. 25.5k, fruits and vegetables. You do not pay zakat on fruit and vegetables. Like apples and apricots, nor vegetables based on what is reported by Mu'adh ibn Jabal, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, said what may mean, there is a tenth, an ushur, on land watered by the sky, or springs, or running springs. There is half an ushur, 5%, on land which is irrigated, i.e. that which is transported from a river or a well to water crops by some device. That is about dates, wheat, and grains. As for cucumbers and watermelons, they are exempt, as the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, exempted them. 25.6, on money. 25.6a, the nisab on gold. There is no zakat on gold if you have less than 20 dinars. If the amount reaches 20 dinars, you pay one half of a dinar. In other words, 1/40th of the total amount. Any more than that is calculated on the same basis, however small the additional amount is. 25.6b, the nisab on silver. There is no zakat on silver if you have less than 200 dirhams, which is 5 uqiyas. One uqiyya being 40 dirhams. This is based on 7 dinars being of the same weight as 10 dirhams. If you have 200 such dirhams, you pay 1/40th, that is 5 dirhams. Anything more than that is calculated on the same basis. By the legal dirham, the commentary goes on, which is the Meccan dirham. Its weight is 555 grains of middle barley corns. Each dinar weighs 72 grains. It is said that it's the dirham of measure because by the legal measures.
basically just dealing with people not from that land, as you stated. Continue.
Now, 25.6c, gold and silver are a single category. Gold and silver are considered as a single category for the purposes of zakat. So if, for example, someone has 100 dirhams and 10 dinars, they should pay 1/40 of each.
Nah.
Since that is what the Prophet did, alayhi salatu wasalam, in that. It is clarified in At-Tahqiq. It's related from Bukayr ibn Abdullah ibn al-Ashaj that he said, the sunnah is that the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, joined gold to silver and silver to gold and took zakat from them.
Nah, that's one category. Continue.
He goes into a subcategory of that. The joining is by parts and not by value. The opposite would be to make each dinar equal to 10 dirhams, even if its value is many times over, as when he has 100 dirhams and 10 dinars, or 150 and 5 dinars. If he has 180 dirhams and 1 dinar equal to 20 dirhams, he does not pay anything. It's permitted to pay one of the two types for the other according to the well-known position.
Now,
25.7 on merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
25.7a, only on trading merchandise. There's no zakat on goods unless they're for trading purposes. Goods comprises slaves, real estate, land, clothes, wheat, and all grains, fruits, and animals when they are less than the nisab. As for private property, there's no zakat on it by agreement. As for merchandise, there is zakat on it by agreement. As for hoarding, which is what is kept from the markets for a large profit, zakat is obliged on it. 25.7b, preconditions. There are preconditions for the obligation of zakat on it. One of them is the intention, which is indicated by unless they are for trading purposes. This means he only intends them for commerce, or commerce as well as private ownership, or revenue. He is careful about the lack of intention, so when there is an exchange of goods which is not intended for commerce, as when it's simply for ownership, or just for revenue, or both, then there is no zakat. 2. The second precondition is that he keeps the goods from the markets until the time when there is a good profit.
This is called hoarding.
Nah. 25.7c, sale income. If you sell goods after 1 year or more from the day you bought them or paid zakat on their price, the commentary continues. The third precondition is that he owns them by paying for them. This precludes
okay,
goods
just,
possessed.
You just changed up on something. I just missed something there. Did you?
I know it was strange. No, it was strange. That's how it comes in the text.
It continues in the next part, right? Like with the bold.
I think it's a typo or something. Okay, go ahead.
Because if there's a comma, then you jump down to then you only have to pay 1 year zakat. It connects it, but then the commentary interrupts it.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I'm just going to keep reading the preconditions, and then we'll come back to the other chapters, which are like incorrectly formatted. 3. The third precondition is that he owns them by paying for them. And we're talking here about the preconditions of the obligation of zakat on goods which are being hoarded. So the third precondition is that he owns them by paying for them. This precludes goods possessed through inheritance, gifts, or the like. There's no zakat on them, except after a year from the day their price is received, even if he delays receiving it to avoid zakat.
And it doesn't count as hoarding for him initially, because it doesn't make a difference how long the other person held them. He's only responsible once he gets them. Okay, go ahead.
Now, the fourth is that he sells them for money. Not that he sells them at all or sells them for other than money, unless selling them not for money is out of the intention to evade zakat. There's no
difference. This is what we see in the United States with people with their yachts. If they lose their yacht out at sea, then they can claim the worth of it in taxes.
Hmm.
So you hear a whole bunch of yachting accidents by wealthy people when they want to get rid of their yacht. Okay?
Huh. I see. There's no difference in selling between it being real or metaphorical, in that a person consumes the item and the merchant takes its price.
No.
What is sold must reach the nisab, because stored goods are not evaluated, as opposed to the situation where there is constant turnover. So simple selling in respect of it is enough for the existence of zakat, even if the price of what he sells is less than the nisab, because he must value the rest of his goods. This precondition is taken from his words. To exclude the one who sells it for goods, he does not pay zakat. 5. The fifth precondition is that a year passes from the day the zakat was paid on the capital or he acquires it. He is silent about the precondition, which is that the basis of those goods be money by which he bought them. If it's less than the nisab or was by barter, even private property which he then sells and uses to buy those goods for the sake of trade, if he sells them before the end of the year, there's no zakat on them until the year has passed. Sheikh, this discussion, I just would like to check that I understand the context of this discussion. Is the issue here that someone bought goods and then kept the goods in his house for like years and years and didn't sell them, and then he sells them later, and now he has to figure out what the zakat is?
Okay, so even if he hoarded the goods, the zakat is due on them, because he's not allowed to hoard them with the intention of selling them when he's going to get a good price. So every year he's going to owe zakat on that property. It's commercial property. Okay?
Nah, so basically this person is a trader or a merchant or something, and he's buying goods. He's putting his money in goods so he doesn't have to pay the zakat. He still has to pay the zakat, but he just, now that this discussion is about when and how he pays that, right?
Right. You know, it's just denying the person who's seeking to play games. Same way we see with people who believe in doing the United States taxes, right? And what they find loopholes, ridiculous loopholes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, for example, if you own a property and then you owe on that property. But if you put a cow on that property, you no longer owe taxes on that property. It is the law in the United States. So you'll see some properties, like the property that Walmart in Florida, in Orlando, Florida, they have a super Walmart. And out in the backyard, on the side of the Walmart, you have cows.
Mm-hmm.
On the property. You're like, what the hell is, what's going on there? Then you find out that as long as they have those cows there, they don't have to pay property taxes on that land. So those three cows they have there is worth all the money just to keep them there. You get my point?
Wow. Is that a Florida thing?
That's a Florida thing.
Okay.
Now there's similar laws like this in all the states that have crops in them.
Oh, yeah?
Okay. Hmm. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. 25.7c. Sale income. If you sell goods after 1 year or more from the day you bought them or paid zakat on their price, then you only have to pay 1 year's zakat on the proceeds of the goods, whether these goods were in your possession for 1 year or more than 1 year before you sold them.
And that's because it's supposed to be the second full year, okay, before you can get the new zakat on it. Continue.
So this seems to indicate that you can actually avoid zakat by buying goods and keeping it for multiple years, because he just said that you only have to pay zakat on 1 year.
That's only because it's past. You missed the point. Read it again.
Okay. If you sell goods after 1 year or more from the day you bought them.
Okay. 1 year or more. Or 1 year or more. Okay. Mm-hmm. Or paid zakat already on them. Read it. Keep reading.
Or paid zakat on their price. Then you only have to pay 1 year's zakat on the proceeds of the goods, whether those goods were in your possession for 1 year or more than 1 year before you sold them.
So the point is not the one, it's more than one, but less than two.
Okay.
Go ahead, continue.
Now, then he moves to speaking about merchandise which has a constant turnover, which are goods which he buys for trade and sells without waiting, and not wait for a favorable market or a slack market, like all owners of shops with constant turnover. This is an exception to the previous statement. (clears throat) 25.7d, the case of constant turnover. However, if you are a merchant with a constant turnover so that you never keep money or goods in your possession for any length of time, then you should assess your goods every year and pay zakat on them and whatever cash you have in hand at that time. The commentary goes on. He sells for the current price and replaces it and does not wait for a good market to sell or a slack market to buy. Then you assess your goods of every category for what they normally are sold at that time for a price equivalent to the common sale rather than the forced sale, because the forced sale is at a great reduction. Brocade and similar cloth, like fine cotton garments, delicate cloth, and real estate are assessed in gold, and coarse garments and daily wear are assessed in silver. He begins the assessment, i.e. the tax year, according to Ashhab, from the day he begins to trade. El-Baji said that it's from the day the zakat of the price is taken or from the day he has profit. After assessment, zakat is paid on the merchandise, provided some have been sold, even a dirham. There's no difference between selling something at the beginning or the end of the year. When he does not sell anything or has a sale a month after the year, for instance, he assesses it at that point and transfers his year to that month and voids the extra over the year. It's like the one who deals in money if it is with him. It is like that with the zakat of his debt when it's immediately taken. Shaykh, this section was a bit confusing to me. I don't know if I understood all of it.
Okay, it's difficult to understand, I guess, because you know, you have to imagine that something is there. You can't see it for yourself. Basically, what the chapter is talking about is when you have something and you're not selling that something, why did you not sell that something? Is it your personal property? You're just holding it? Then no, there's no zakat on that thing. But if it's an item that is used for tijara and you're holding it, then you're storehousing it. And if you're storehousing it, you owe zakat on it. So it's telling you about zakat that you have, well, at least in some of the cases here, you know, and you're hoarding it. You're holding it from the market to rise, to make the prices rise on the market, you know, because the market is going to miss that thing and the price is going to go up for it. So it's punishing you on making sure that you're not getting such a big break. You're not making profit or as much profit because you have to pay zakat on that thing for every year you hold it. That's basically what it was talking about in this last bit. Okay. And then because of the language, it's mentioning how, you know, you wouldn't know everybody's intention with the thing, or what happens when you inherit it. What happens if someone sells it before 2 years is over? Then he only owns 1 year. But if he did 1 year and a half, he owes for 1 year. If he says 1 year and 11 months, he owes for 1 year. It only owns for 2 years when he has fulfilled 2 years. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's it, basically.
Okay. Okay. 25.7e, zakat on investments. Zakat is due on invested wealth when that wealth has been in your possession for 1 year. The commentary goes on. It would literally mean whether there is a nisab or not. That is the case in the well-known position. For example, he has a dinar, which remains with him for 11 months. Then he buys goods with it, which he sells after a month for 20. He pays zakat now, when he sells them after a month, relative to the fact that it was with him for 11 months, and it becomes the second year when it is completed. If he enters the zakatable level in the year, he pays for the entire year.
this is an investment. You know, the example that he gave is can be understood like this, because let's say you have some money. Let's use $10,000, and you intend to invest that $10,000, but you're holding on to it, looking for the product that you want to look for, or whatever, you're busy doing some other things, and then after 7 months, you take that $10,000 out of your bank or wherever you're holding it, and you go buy the product and you put it on the market. Now you have $10,000 worth of product on the market. Okay? Mm-hmm. And you hold it there for another 6 months. Now it's a year. That's why you owe zakat on it, because from the very beginning, the intention was to do something with that, and the price is still there. Mm-hmm. It's as an investment. So whether the investment was the money or the other things that you purchased with it, it's still an investment.
Right.
The whole of it, not the specific one. It's just because you changed form, it's still investment. And that's older than zakat. Now, the issue whether it should be reached in nisab or not is an issue of ikhtilaf. What is this, a tharwa? No, it should reach the nisab, because that's what the condition is, that it's a nisab, because a poor person is going to invest and he doesn't have enough for the nisab still. Hmm. So it has to reach the nisab. Wallahu a'lam.
Now, Sheikh, this brings to mind something. Many people these days have their wealth tied up in their homes. So does a person owe zakat on the value of their home every year?
No. Remember, that's different. It's the same thing like when I think in the United States, if you only have one car, they don't charge you for it. But if you have two, then then it's something that you owe on it. You know, you're living in that home. You're not supposed to have to. You shouldn't. You're not using it for business. Mm. You're using it for to live with. Okay. No, there's no zakat on that.
Okay. Nah, alhamdulillah. 25.7f, zakat on the offspring of livestock. Similarly, zakat is due on the offspring of livestock if the mother animals have been in your possession for a year.
Right, this is a rule that is well known, that no matter what, whenever the time for counting cattle is concerned, you count the cattle. The small ones, the big ones, you count them all. Okay? Whether they've been there a year or not. Continue.
Nah. The basis for that is the statement of Omar, for them to count the lambs with their mothers, but not to take them. The Prophet is like the lambs, and the lambs include the male and female young sheep and young goats at the moment which they are born. 25.8. Debts. 25.8a, debts cancel out wealth. If you have wealth on which zakat is due, but you also have a debt of the same amount, or one which will reduce your wealth to less than the amount on which zakat is due, then you do not have to pay zakat.
Exactly like he said, debts cancel out wealth. Mm-hmm. Simple as that. It's a good principle to establish. No. Whatever you owe, take that out. Subtract that. Okay, so like he said, if the nisab is 5,000 and you owe 6,000, you have 4,000, you don't owe zakat. Okay, this is not a good example. Let's say the zakat nisab is 5,000, you have 6,000, but you owe 4,000, you don't owe zakat.
Right. Nah. So if you owe, you know, this brings to mind one thing that you've taught us in this class many times, and that is we should aspire to be people who can pay zakat.
This is what Allah intends for us. Allah wants you to be wealthy.
And this means that you have to have no debt, or you have to have less debt than your assets, right?
Right. You should have no debt, just like you said in the first place.
Right.
As much as possible.
No. Okay? Now, the commentary goes on. So if you have 20 dirhams...
But you see, if we look at this, the kufar system is to put you in debt. Mm-hmm. Because they look at it as a way of controlling you.
Right. And they've got it so upside down that the way they've engineered it, like the way that you get ahead of the system is to go deeper and deeper in debt. You know?
Yes, because they want you to live off the debt.
Right. Because the value of money is always going down, they say. So you have to be constantly going into debt to make your debts less than your assets. So everyone's always in debt all the time, basically.
Yeah. So the concept becomes live for today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Your children will inherit it. They'll take care of it.
Yeah.
And eventually they're going to change a law, as they've been trying to do, to make, you know, bonded slavery. Slavery, now this becomes the next step that puts you to enslave you. Mm-hmm. You know, this is, if you look at the laws in the United States, this is where they're going with that. You owe all this debt. Your father passed away, and now you owe all these bills. The mm-hmm. debtor has a right to get the one who's holding the debt. He's saying, hey, look, I have a right to my money. And if you can't pay me, then, you know, Hajar will just hold him until he does pay me. So he doesn't abscond with my wealth. Now we put him or we bond him. We say, hey, this guy is worth this amount of money. Okay? He's healthy. He has this, to that. Put him in jail. Let him work it off of there. Or let me sell him to this company, and they'll keep him on campus, and he goes and he works until he pays my money back. Or the debt gets under this amount. But guess what? He owes every day he's in jail. Mm. He has to pay for his room and board. Okay?
That's wild.
Well, this is where the United States is going. Mm-hmm. This is their, hey, we've got slavery again. And, you know, what do you think make America great again? It's all about, you know? Mm.
Nah. The commentary goes on. So if you have 20 dirhams and owe a debt in goods, for instance, or food or livestock or something else, immediate or deferred, equal to the amount or one which will reduce it below the minimum on which zakat is due, as when he has 20 dirhams and owes half a dinar, there is no zakat in both cases. The apparent meaning of the words of the sheikh is that the debt cancels zakat, even if it is the mahar to his wife, who is in his care, and even more so if she is divorced and he owes her the mahar. It is the preferred from the two well-known positions. In the other well-known position, it is not canceled. According to the well-known position, the debt cancels zakat, even the debt of the zakat, as opposed to the debts of vows and expiations which do not cancel zakat. The difference is that the debt of zakat is sought by the just imam, and zakat is taken even by force, which is not the case with vows and expiations. Then there is an exception from that generality. 25.8. If you have other assets. If, however, you have other assets on which zakat is not due, such as personal effects or slaves or domestic animals or private property, which could be used to pay off your debt, then you do pay zakat on your wealth.
Okay, that wealth has become, what do you call it? I guess not a liability, but a ransom for your debts. That's why. Okay, because now you're sitting on wealth. You're able to pay the debt with that. Okay, you're able to pay the debt. And if you can pay the debt by you know, liquidating your affairs, then you have to do that. Okay? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right. You can't sit there and say, okay, I have slaves, I have property, but I'm living on that property. I'm, you know, it's private property. I'm not selling it. I'm not using it for this kind of thing. But I'm not. I can't pay your debt. I don't have money. You do have money. This is worth money. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you can't hold me out. You know. So, you take your property.
Nah. The commentary goes on. This is when someone has wealth on which zakat is due and has a debt equal to it, or one which reduces the zakatable property. If he has goods like slaves, real estate, residences, excuse me, garments, grains, dates, and animals less than the nisab, or even if he has grains, dates, or animals on which there is zakat, he puts that against the debt he owes, and he pays zakat. Real estate means that which has no lintels, like open land. Houses is property with a lintel like houses. If the wealth on which zakat is not obliged of his personal goods is enough to discharge the debt, it is put opposite the debt he owes with the precondition that he's had it for a year. The year of everything is according to it. This applies to things that can be sold to settle the debt.
Is what I was just talking about, you know.
No.
It's considered to be, like I said, a ransom, or on, yeah, what is it when you go to the pawn shop? Yeah, we're going to pawn it. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to sell it.
Collateral?
For right, collateral damage. You know, this is going to take this and, you know, pay the debt. Pay your debt with this. Okay, this, all these things are collateral. That's the best way to look at it.
No.
Okay? Even if you're not using it for any other reasons, you know, you're not making any money off of it, but money can be made, or it has worth, then we can now look at your property and take what we want. Okay?
No.
No.
25.8C.
Okay. Let's stop here, because we spoke about so many various things, because there's really not much to say about these things on face value, unless we're getting confused about them. But we've met so many different topics, angles. Like you said, it takes time to absorb some of this stuff. Okay?
Nah.
Anyway.
Okay. All right. So, well, in that case, then Jazakallah Khair Sheikh, and thank you all for joining us today on Outlining Fiqh. We learned a lot today about zakat, but let's not rush things. If hadith, usul, and histories are still partially clouded in mysteries, then refrain from speech, for what can you teach? To have little knowledge and teach is to cheat. Go back to the graph and the knowledge within. There are 38 chapters to finish. Let's begin. الأرض سلاما وعلوما وفضائل